Welcome back to Statewide. I'm Sean Crawford. 50 years ago this month, Democrats gathered in Chicago for their convention. They nominated Hubert Humphrey as their presidential candidate, but also showing up thousands of protesters voicing opposition to the Vietnam War. And of course, it resulted in chaos on the streets, even on the convention floor. And the whole world was watching.
What's your name, sir?
And what is your name, sir? Take your hands off of me.
Dan Riley.
Unless you intend to arrest me, don't push me, please.
Sir, I'm
I know you will, but don't push me. Take your hands off of me unless you intend to arrest me.
Wait a minute.
Walters, you can see.
I don't know what's going on, but these are security people apparently around Dan. We're obviously getting roughed up.
We tried to talk to the man, and we got bodily pushed out of the way. This is the kind of thing that's been going on outside the hall. This is the first time we've had it happen inside the hall.
Today, we're looking back at that event, which took place at the International Amphitheater. Joining me is Mark DePew. He's director of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library's Oral History Program. Also, author Taylor Pinsino, who was sent to the convention when he was a political reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thanks, Sean.
Glad to be here, Sean.
Taylor, let me start with you. What were you expecting when you went? I know word was out that there were going to be some major demonstrations. Were you a little bit of trepidation going into that?
A little bit, Sean. But of course, I never anticipated what occurred. I had no idea, and I don't think many other individuals tied to the convention had any idea what would occur, what would develop before it was over. Frankly, I like to say that before it was over, I was a witness to what Norman Mailer, the author Norman Mailer, called the Siege of Chicago. It was absolutely a city under attack. Its functioning was disrupted. I have never, can't imagine ever seeing another disruptive scene, more chaotic. It was, in many aspects, it was unbelievable. And I got up there a few days earlier to write some political stories. But, of course, as you already said, rumors were swirling that the protesters were going to be out in force. They were already coming in droves. And the expectations were that there was going to be extreme activity, to put it mildly, on the streets of Chicago. And that certainly that certainly enveloped. In my case, I've got the experience, fortunately or unfortunately, most aspects of it. I covered the actual convention itself down in the International Amphitheater, but I also spent time with some of the protesters or on the edge of Grand Park, and the Post-Dispatch had leased space in the bottom our basement of the Conrad Hilton Hotel. That's where we wrote our stories. And the Conrad Hilton Hotel, of course, was the headquarters for McCarthy, and it was absolutely crammed with protesters and other individuals. You couldn't turn around. And I was, in one way or another, involved in frankly, in all of it.
You were still a relatively young reporter at the time.
I was. I tried to figure it out, and I was going to tell Mark that. I think I was 27 years old at the time.
Well, you know, I think as reporters, often you're witness to history, but you don't know it as much. You don't realize what the impact's going to be long term. Did you realize that then, that this was going to be something that was really, really going to stand out in history and politics?
I did, Sean. Yeah, I recognize that I was part of a journalistic part of something that would be an irrevocable memory for the rest of my life, and for something that I realized the whole world was watching. In fact, in one of the protests, I think it was Wednesday night, thousands of protesters were shouting in unison, "Remember, the whole world is watching." So I would say yes. I accurately felt that this was something that would never be forgotten in modern American political history. Could not be erased.
One of those people who was watching, Mark, that was you. At the time, I'm not sure how old you were back then, but you were paying attention to what was going on.
I was 14 years old, and like a lot of people, I was watching it all on TV. I remember, the whole world is watching. The whole world is watching. And I'd already gotten really interested in American politics, and I certainly was paying attention to that.
as part of the oral history program here in with the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library, you've talked to a lot of people who were involved in politics. That moment stands out in the state's history, doesn't it?
It sure does. In fact, I've got a pretty standard list of questions I ask when I get to 1968, because it was such a pivotal and important year in American history. Of course, as you and your listeners will recall, it starts with the Tet Offensive at the end of January, and that pretty much changed people's perception of the Vietnam War. Then you've got Johnson's decision to drop out of the race, and on April 4th of that year is the day that the night that Martin Luther King was assassinated, and of course, cities across the country exploded in violence after that. Then in June, you've got Robert Kennedy's assassination. There were things going on internationally. There were the Columbia University sit-in. The students had taken over the university campus. It was a crazy year, but you know, nothing was as crazy as what happened at the Democratic Convention.
And there was a lot of activity going on outside, as we've talked about, but it seems to me it was just as wild on the convention floor. Things that I've seen, archive video of that, people, delegates being hauled out of the convention center. I mean, it was pretty crazy, wasn't it?
Well, I can simply say that some of the states had rival delegations that came to Chicago, and there were all sorts of controversies over what delegations would be seated and which ones would be rebuffed. And there were divisions on the convention floor. It seemed like in many of the positions, there were many sympathizers with the protesters, especially among the New York and California delegates. I remember that. And then you had more conservative delegations from obviously states like, you know, Alabama, Georgia, and so on. There were fisticuffs on the convention floor. Sometimes there was outright disorder, which is not all that unusual at a national convention, but it was much more aggravated, I thought, and much more tense from the opening bell at the amphitheater where the convention was held.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six policemen came in here, some of them wearing the blue helmets of the Chicago Police Force, and they are dragging out of here the people who were involved in this. One delegate from New York who objected to having his credentials checked.
This surely is the first time that policemen have ever entered a convention, a floor of a convention.
In the United States.
Colorado. Mr. Chairman, Colorado rises to a point of information. Is there any rule under which Mayor Daley can be compelled to suspend the police state terror perpetrated this minute on kids in front of the Conrad Hilton?
As I look at the confusion in this hall and watch on television the turmoil and violence that is competing with this great convention for the attention of the American people, and with George McGovern as President of the United States, we wouldn't have to have Gestapo tactics in the streets of Chicago. With George McGovern, we wouldn't have a National Guard.
That sound from the floor of the convention and also outside. You heard Abe Ribicoff there making the announcement of the Gestapo tactics, as he termed them. Former Mayor Daley, the older Mayor Daley, he took offense to that, of course, gesturing at the time after that line was delivered. It seemed like the party was coming apart at the seams. Did it feel that way to you at the time?
Well, it definitely did. The divisions were very steep and there was great hostility within the party. But back to the Daley Ribicoff thing, that's one of the episodes or anecdotes I like to relate. I was on the floor at that time interviewing the Illinois delegates, which were essentially the Chicago Democratic delegates. I was kneeling down. Reporters like me were allowed to go out for like 10-minute periods, and then you had to come back to the sidelines. That was during one of my 10-minute periods. I was literally kneeling down, talking to a Democratic member of the Daley entourage, Francis Lorenz, and Mayor Daley was seated either right next to Lorenz or no more than two chairs down. And Ribicoff was on the podium, and he was taking off on Daley, the Gestapo tactics and all that. And Daley erupted and started shouting, you know, shut up. you know, cut it out, get off the podium. And then Daly cuffed his hands around his mouth and started to boo. And immediately, all of the Democratic delegates, they were all Daly people, of course, all in unison started to boo along with Daly. Whatever Daly did, they echoed. It was automatic. And it was very dramatic. And I've even seen pictures, elongated pictures, of the line of seats where Daly was seated. And you can see me crouched behind Francis Lorenz's chair. And it's just a very memorable moment. And, of course, that was my lead in the next day's story, and that was the major story in the Post-Dispatch the next morning, obviously.
We are talking with Taylor Pinsoneau, author and a former reporter. We're going back 50 years to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Also talking with Mark DePue. He's director of the Oral History Program at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library. Mark, there has been protesting at every convention since. I'm sure there were some protests before that one as well. Why does this one resonate so much?
Well, it was all about the students had a lot of things. The protesters had a lot of things. But the Vietnam War was really the central thing. And Taylor was talking about what was going on at the convention itself. One of the things that really got into a heated debate, and I think it was the second night of the convention, was one of the planks of the platform, which was about a anti-war plank. And it was finally defeated after a very lengthy discussion, and that really fired up the crowds and got them going, because that was what they wanted to see. They wanted Eugene McCarthy to emerge out of this thing, which was not going to happen, and they wanted that peace plank. And you know, the whole nation, because of what had happened earlier in the year and gotten disillusioned about the Vietnam War, and you only see that protest against the war growing after this. But that was really one of the flashpoints.
It didn't reflect well, of course, on the Democratic Party at the time, but Chicago itself, it's always had this image of a rough and tumble city, I guess going back to Al Capone, many others. But the imagery that was delivered right into the country's living rooms, that had a lasting impact as well.
Yeah, it sure did. And as Taylor was reporting as well, one of the aftermaths of that is what has become known as the Walker Report. A future Illinois governor, Dan Walker, was an attorney for Montgomery Ward, was selected to head up that commission. And once the report eventually came out, he declared that this was a police riot.
And Taylor, did you talk with any police officers? Have you talked with some in the past about it and their views?
I talked to police officers at the time, Sean, and their instructions were to brook no disorder. Apparently there had been riots earlier in the year in Chicago surrounding like the death of Martin Luther King Jr. and so on. And at that time, many felt that the official response from law enforcement was not sufficient. And Mayor Daley had given strict orders to brook no property damage, open hostility. This was supposed to be, you know, Daley was the most prominent political figure in America at the time. And this was to be the apex or the premier moment of his long control of Chicago. This was his baby. He wanted this convention in Chicago, and he had dedicated all of his available resources to make it the most memorable political convention of all time in modern American political history. And of course, that happened, but it didn't happen the way he wanted. But nevertheless, this convention was Daley's baby. And it's incredible that it turned out the way it did, especially in view of the fact that he had such control over all of the political mechanisms, really not just of Chicago, but of the state in many regards.
And if I can add, Sean, on the other side, the students and the protesters who are coming, people like Abby Hoffman, who was head of a group called the Yippies, Youth International Party, right, Taylor?
Right, Mark.
They had it in their minds, the small minority of the protesters, but they had in their minds they were going to instigate some kind of conflict.
And certainly the TV cameras helped with that.
Right.
So everybody played a part in this whole thing. Before I let you guys go, just to give your thoughts on what the legacy of this convention has been. When you look back at this moment in history, what's been the legacy, whether it's Illinois, whether it's the city of Chicago, whether it's politics in general?
Well, I think that the immediate legacy was that it greatly damaged the Democratic Party. the party was already seriously split leading into the convention, and it was broken as a result of this convention. It left the nominee for president of the convention, Hubert Humphrey. He was vice president at the time, Vice President Humphrey, with, in my opinion, little chance of winning in the general election. He started out in a terrific hole with a terrific monkey on his back in the final months of the campaign because of the Chicago Convention. And I think the legacy is that it put the Democrats on the back burner nationally, and they did not make a comeback until the second term of Richard Nixon's presidency, when Watergate took over the scene, and that allowed the Democrats to come into play big time again in our national political picture.
Yeah, and it's no surprise that what did Richard Nixon run on? Law and order. Law and order. And anybody who was watching what was going on in America with the riots after Martin Luther King assassination, but especially this one, as Taylor hinted at, you know, they were seeing these crazy kids in Chicago flying the Viet Cong flag, dragging down the American flag, climbing up on statues. I don't know that they saw many things like the protesters throwing urine and feces and calling the police officers pigs over and over and over again. But I think from a historical perspective, that part of it has been downplayed.
That's Mark DePew. He's the director of the Oral History Project at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library in Springfield, and also Taylor Pinsano. Taylor was at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago 50 years ago. You're listening to Statewide. Back with more in a moment.